Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
It is training camp. 2013 here in Foxborough is underway. Day one in the books. A morning practice from 9 o'clock to about quarter past 11 or so, and then we had a chance to talk to the players. I'm Eric Scalavino, joined by Andy Hart and Paul Perillo, my compatriots. See what I did there at Patriots Football Weekly?
Keep it moving.
And, guys, I don't know if it was a harbinger of things to come, but it was downpouring rain today on the first day of training camp. Not what you typically expect from training camp. As Bill said in our open there, it's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. It's training camp. Well, it was soggy. It was wet.
Chilly.
And surprisingly, I thought there were some pretty good plays made today on a sloppy field with a wet ball. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's go do the housekeeping first. On the 90-man roster, we had seven players who didn't participate. A few of them were there, you know, doing rehab type stuff. But we'll go down the list and out in numerical order. Julian Edelman, Mark Harrison, both wide receivers. Nick McDonald, offensive line. Corey Grissom, rookie defensive lineman. Kenbrell Tompkins, rookie wide receiver. And, of course, Rob Gronkowski, all-world tight end. And Armin Armstead, the first-year defensive lineman from the Canadian Football League. Those guys weren't practicing, but Edelman, Harrison, McDonald, and Tompkins were all out on the field at one point or another doing either, you know, rehab-type work or sort of taking part in stretching exercises and the like. Devin McCourty had a red jersey on but took part in pretty much everything in practice today because the players, as specified by the CBA, the first couple of days or so of camp aren't in full pads. They're in shells, uppers, helmets. And like I said earlier, there was some activity today that I thought was surprising given the inclement weather out there. Some guys made some plays offensively and defensively. And we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. Andy, I think you and I were both talking in the tent that the two guys that stood out to us the most on offense were Danny Amendola and rookie Aaron Dobson.
Certainly, and especially Dobson, because I saw Amendola in the spring. You know, he stood out, and Dobson didn't stand out to me and then got a little banged up and wasn't out there towards the end. Today he was out there working primarily with Amendola and that, you know, level of receiver. And I thought he looked pretty good running, caught the ball very well, got a lot of reps with Brady. Even times, tight windows Brady was throwing into to him. Now, Paul may argue that that's a concern, that he's not getting open enough. But, you know, he was going against, at times, top corners, you know, the Aqib Talibs of the world, Alphonso Dennard, and the guys that are going to be the best corners this team has to offer. And so for those that believe that the rookies, Dobson and or Boyce, can or need to come in and have an immediate impact, I thought the first day of camp for him was a strong showing, and a strong showing for the offensive passing game as a whole. You know, I thought they were hideous in the spring.
With the
hideous, yeah. With balls just hitting the ground. And as you mentioned today, when, you know, don't get me wrong, there were balls hitting the ground. Brady had throws that got away from him. There was one that went 5 yards over Amendola's head, and then he bounced the next one. But sometimes that happens when you're in a pretty heavy rain and wet balls and things of that nature. But on the whole, for the whole two-hour session, I thought the passing game looked pretty good, and I thought Dobson had a tremendous first day of training camp practice.
Yeah, that's the rookie wide receivers are a big takeaway for me, and Andy talked a lot about Dobson. Boyce was not anywhere near as impressive. He was with mostly secondary groups, and also it looked like he was sort of finding his way. Now, he missed pretty much the entire spring. He didn't take part in any of the stuff that we got to see during the spring, so that's why I'm so encouraged by the fact that he was out there. He's not going to miss any training camp time, or at least he's ready at the start of training camp. We'll see how quickly he can get up to speed, but I was encouraged by the fact that those two rookies were out there, they were suited up, and they took part in full in their first training camp practice as Patriots. And I agree with Andy about Dobson. I thought he had a strong day. On the flip side, I would say that the secondary was also interesting. Now, Alfonso Dennard was out there, and he was able to take part in practice. And, you know, we talked about on PFW in Progress about his legal proceedings and what's going to happen going forward. Interesting that Kyle Arrington seemed to be next to Aqib Talib as the first group with the corners, and then Dennard would come in. Dennard struggled a little bit, when he was out there. I thought he got beat a little bit, but my big takeaway is the fact that those two rookie wide receivers were out there.
Right, and another receiver who made a few nice plays today, Kamar Aiken, a guy who's been on the team. He's on the practice squad.
Aiken to contribute?
He certainly was, and one of those plays came against the aforementioned Dennard on a really nice play in it wasn't 7-on-7, I don't think. It might have just been a one-on-one drill with the defensive back, but made a great play down the sideline, adjusted for the ball, and made a catch. Tight-roped, kept his feet in bounds. It was a really good play. And he had another one later on in the day. We'll stay on the defensive side of the ball, though. Jamie Collins, I thought, made a very nice play at one point in 7-on-7, coming across the middle on what looked like just a dump-off pass, and didn't interfere, came across, swiped the ball down, made a great play. That was really the only thing I saw from him.
Showing his athleticism.
Showing a little bit of athleticism.
I figured.
But Chandler Jones made a great
Speaking
defensive
of showing
play.
Athleticism.
Run us through that play.
Most athletic play on the field today belonged to the second-year defensive end who spent a nice time with us on PFW in Progress this offseason. For a man who put on 10 pounds, 270-pound defensive end, little dump-off screen pass from Tim Tebow, who we'll get to later. To summarize his day, not quite as good as many of the other players on the field, but Chandler Jones made a diving, leaping grab of the ball out of the air, kind of going away from Tebow back towards the defensive side of the ball. Just a phenomenally gifted athletic type play. And we saw him flash a number of times. Now, they're not in pads, but you know, there were times where he was getting quote unquote pressure, getting into the backfield very quickly. Who knows? That'll change when linemen actually are blocking and have pads. But Chandler Jones certainly had a nice first day and showed that unique athleticism that I think he brings to the table.
I was a little disappointed that we didn't get to see Armstead at all. And I know he started off on the non-football illness list where he was placed the other day. And I don't know for sure what the specific reason is. I can only assume that it has something to do with the heart problems that it has limited him in the past, and that'd be really discouraging if that is what's keeping him off the field.
And concerning.
Very concerning.
A, why did you sign him, or what did you do when you signed him? What was the physical process testing like then? What reports did you have from Canada and whatever they had gone through over the last year? What changed to start training camp? Because he was out there in the spring. So what changed? Because essentially right now, they're not doing anything that they didn't do
in the spring.
It's very much a carryover practice.
They just have some light shoulder pads on right now.
The first 2 days,
same thing.
You're absolutely right.
So what happened? Why is he not out there? What is this illness?
Great question.
Now, we may be assuming something that is unfair.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's something different altogether. I have no idea.
Maybe he has the flu or something.
For someone I had very high hopes for, and I was intrigued in talking to Pete Carroll and then talking to him and just standing next to him, the size he offers, the pedigree, the resume. Mm. I was intrigued that, you know, this is a guy that not only could offer rotational reps at interior defensive line, but maybe an athlete that, you know, Bill could use in a couple different ways, move around that front, has some pass rush ability at 300 pounds. And, you know, we always talk about if you miss the first, you know, whatever it is, however long it takes him to get on the field, a lot of guys don't catch up from that. You write that year off to that was a loss because he just never was able to get back on track with his teammates. As Bill said this morning, the treadmill's running. They're ready to get on and run with it. He's not, and that's not good.
It's almost like you can double the days for the amount of time that you miss.
Yeah.
You know, you miss 2 days, it's like missing four because it takes you a couple to catch up and do all that stuff. So, yeah, I agree with Eric. Disappointing not to see him. I think he's an intriguing player, and he's at a position that is not overly deep. So hopefully we can get a chance to get to see him before the end of the weekend and he can get out there.
And we mentioned earlier Kyle Arrington playing the opposite corner spot to Aqib Talib, which means Devin McCourty was, for the most part, staying put at safety, at least on day one of camp.
And McCourty was with Adrian Wilson, which I also thought is fairly interesting. I think that safety competition is going to be one of those that we see the Belichick thing, Andy. It might be Steve Gregory out there tomorrow, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll see Tavon Wilson another day. I think that's going to be
and they did rotate.
To keep an eye on. Yep.
You know, it wasn't strictly Wilson, yes. Adrian Wilson, and McCourty leave, and then
McCourty stayed.
Wilson came in, came out. Gregory came in. McCourty got more reps next to a number of players. So, and I think that's what you're going to see when the year starts. My one concern would be if you're an Adrian Wilson fan, great that he's out there with the quote unquote first group next to McCourty. Bad news is a couple different times Ballard blew right by him. And actually, what I deemed the worst play of practice all the way around, Ballard blew by him and then dropped the ball that hit him in the hand. So it was bad news for the offense and the defense in the same play. But certainly from what we've seen of Ballard, he is not a speedy tight end. Never was. And right now
Still
seems like he's limping.
Still has that hitch.
Right. Could just be his post-surgery gait. That might just be how he moves the rest of his life. But he's certainly not the most athletic tight end that Wilson would face, and for him to be getting by him, those of you that believe that Wilson may have lost a step, you could defend your argument based on that a little today.
And, of course, we mentioned the tight ends. That's also a position that's of worth watching this
mm-hmm.
summer.
Continue to show his versatility moving around?
I think what was also important to note was that a lot of the speculation with no Gronk, at least to start, obviously we're out without Hernandez. What will the offensive formation look like? Will they still use two tight ends? Will they mostly go three wides? For most part, I saw two and two.
I saw a lot of
three wide sets.
Yeah. There was actually one point early in practice in group work where I found it interesting. They went two backs. The very next play, they went two tight ends. And then the very next play, they went three wide receivers. So clearly, they're still kind of working through the personnel, and they're all options. And it also at times depends. You could say they're either a two tight end, two back offense, depending on what you consider Omanau Nui. Well, because he lined up at fullback a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just going to deem him a tight end, okay, they're in a two tight end set, but mm-hmm. he might be, I mean, he wears 47, and if he lines up in the backfield, I mean, there's not that big a difference between fullback and tight end, that F spot, whatever. Mm. So describe his position will kind of how you describe the formation.
Right.
The eye of the beholder. I would call it a two tight end set, but I get you.
I'd call it a two back set.
And after just one practice, after just one practice, not a lot from the rookie Zach Sudfeld, who made a little bit of a name for himself in the spring with the opportunities that he had. Kind of a quiet day from him, I would
mm-hmm.
say.
He was out there.
He was out there.
And I saw him lined up wide a number of times, so he continues to show that he has that pass-catching, flex tight end capabilities that Paul likes so much.
The move tight end.
Yeah, the move tight end. The joker. Joker.
In the parlance.
But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting, and really nothing he did today would show us anything. We need to get to the pads. We need to get to some banging to see how he's going to develop, stay healthy, move forward with that. Can we talk Tebow now?
Yeah, sure.
Well, first, the day started off with Bill Belichick being asked if he was going to be solely a quarterback, and he did not agree with that sentiment. He said he's here to compete, competitive athlete, help the team any way he can. And then we saw example of that on the practice field while most of the day was spent obviously playing quarterback. During the special teams open field tackling segment, he took some reps in a couple different drills where the quarterbacks were throwing the ball to a ball carrier who then had to turn and run upfield for an open field tackle against a defender. He took a couple different reps in those. I thought an interesting one. He caught the ball from Brady, so mm-hmm. who knows if that's a foreshadowing of something we could see down the road.
Well, I think it was interesting, A, that you know Bill said this morning.
Left the door wide open.
Left the door open for Tebow to play other positions, and stress that Tebow feels the same way. And then when Tebow, Paul, you were
Tebow
in on the Tebow conversation afterwards, and he did.
He better based on the way he throws the ball.
He struggled badly throwing the ball, and he's absolutely right.
Struggled is to put it mildly.
He had one of the worst-looking throws I can recall seeing on the practice field when he tried to flare one out to the flat, onto the left side. But yeah, he was asked some questions about catching the ball and playing different positions, and he just kept reiterating, you know, listen, I'm here to do whatever the coaches want me to do. I want to do whatever they ask me to do.
A different tune for Bill Belichick rather than Rex Ryan. But.
Well, and that gets back to that, and I do think, you know, and Fred has been a big proponent of that, Andy. You give Tebow some static for not necessarily embracing other roles with the Jets, and I'm not necessarily sure I believe.
Or the Eagles, too, criticism. Who wanted to trade for him as a tight end and turned it down.
So I wonder where that's coming from, and maybe it is something as simple as what you just said. Bill Belichick's different. If he wants
and
me
Josh.
To do it, I'll do it.
And Josh.
And Josh, too.
You know?
Right.
Josh made him a lot of money as a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He owes him a little something.
Yeah. Tebow
a couple
today,
million bucks, something.
Tebow today in his briefing with the media, I thought, obviously, you'd expect the polish to be there when it comes to that kind of stuff, and it was.
I'm sure the media brought plenty of polish.
No, it was quite the opposite. They asked him all kinds of they asked him several questions about Aaron Hernandez, and he admitted it was heartbreaking and sad, but that he wasn't going to get into it as instructed. And some of the questions were about Florida and Urban Meyer and the renegade program that he runs down there, outlaw program, I think was the way one of the questions phrased it.
So ironic, too.
If this is his last
the
shot to be an NFL player.
The greatest man in college football history was the leader of this renegade program.
Yeah, one of the New York writers even said, geez, it's really raining hard out here, Tim. Does this remind you of the last time you practiced in the rain and ran around and caused so much of a stir running around with no shirt on in the rain? I mean, some really silly questions and some hard-hitting questions about Urban Meyer and his relationship with him and the outlaw program that he was a part of, and I thought he handled them all pretty well.
Yeah, post-practice, Tebow, Alfonso Dennard did speak briefly
much.
To the media. Yeah, didn't say a whole lot.
Not talking about his legal situation, only here
not
to play
at
football.
All.
His best quote, I thought, was when someone asked him about letting Bill down after he had written the letter, and he said, well, I'm still here. I'm still on the team. So
he's got... Yeah.
He didn't get canned.
He didn't. Brandon Spikes spent some time with the media as well, entertained some questions from them.
Mr. Red Shoes, as Fred Kirsch likes to call.
Well, he does. He wears red. He does wear red cleats out there.
I didn't hear any of what Spikes had to say. Was that anything interesting there?
He couldn't comment on Hernandez, although he wanted to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And said he felt great after, obviously he missed pretty much all of the offseason strength and conditioning program to work out on his own. Said he feels fine. He's glad to be back out on the field, enjoying the being back with his teammates and such. But, yeah, nothing really controversial from Spikes today. One last on-field note I want to bring up before we wrap this one up. Special teams, obviously an area of concern for them the last few years has been kickoff returns. They signed Leon Washington, the league's leading kickoff returner,
I believe the league leader, 29 and change.
Right, kickoff returner. He's now with the Patriots, was taking reps
as the
first guy with – Shane Vereen is his up man.
Little interesting, I thought.
I thought
usually
so too.
Slater, I thought, was sort of entrenched as the off kick returner, and today it was Washington and Vereen, and then Slater was grouped too as the returner,
as the return guy with LeGarrette Blunt.
Don't like that.
And LeGarrette Blunt, who can't catch the ball, based on a early showing of drills today, where all the running backs actually struggled to catch the football. Ridley struggled, but yes, in the return game, they looked really good with the other team, not being able to tackle
sure.
in shorts.
They usually do.
Washington was just taking it to the house, ref.
But that's an area that I think Patriots fans should be encouraged by, with a guy like Washington and the skills that he brings. Because
even if
he's not great, even if the blocking isn't great, they should have better return averages.
Can't be worse.
With him out there.
Can't be worse. He brings a veteran, proven nature to it. And let's be honest, they might need it this year. That extra 10 yards could be the difference between a punt and a field goal on the other end for an offense that may or may not be as potent as it once was.
Well, busy day one, guys, huh? Even with all the rain.
Good day one.
There's a lot
always,
going on.
Even though it was rainy and cold, good day one, I thought. You got to see a lot of different things, hear from a bunch of different players. I thought from a team standpoint, I thought it was pretty crisp for the most part, although Bill got a little snippy at the end with some things, made him run plays again, and Marcus Cannon
jumped.
It's
supposed to be like that.
Right. So, you from a coach's perspective, it was probably a good thing. You got some good stuff done, and you have plenty to correct and yell at him for and move forward. But I thought a much more impressive start than I would have expected based on what
Given
I saw
everything.
In the spring and everything that's gone on.
So 12-4 now for you two?
Come on.
Good job.
All right.
Glad to see you came around.
That's a wrap for day one. We'll be back again tomorrow, 9 a.m. sharp for practice to kick off on Saturday for day two. Fans, of course, welcome to come and show up and watch practice. We had quite a handful of people there today.
Yeah,
the
nice crowd.
It was a
the umbrellas
crowd,
were out.
Given
weather.
The conditions, I thought a terrific crowd.
Some barn swallows who were upset that they couldn't get to their nest under the VIP bleachers.
Yeah, they were flying pretty dangerously close to us, too.
They were pissy.
Yeah.
If somebody was disrupting your home, you'd be pissy, too.
All right, so that's it for day one. Check out Patriots.com.
Kind of analysis you can only get here.
For any more updates and updates on any practice changes or things involving the team.
Or things.
Well. There's always
Fred Kirsch like clothes here.
There's a lot going on. We've
just
got
say you'll see him tomorrow.
We'll see.
Oh yeah,
tomorrow.
We proved that Taylor Swift has more power than Bill Belichick. Made him change his practice schedule to work out in the morning because she has two concerts here at Gillette Stadium.
T Swizzle, bringing it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.